Hi there, and welcome back to the North Shore Lines podcast. Today's episode in this series, Tanakh, is on the Book of Ruth, a story about a foreign woman who, against all logic, follows her mother-in-law to her home nation of Israel, in a new land with no prospects. Ruth finds her circumstances dramatically turned around as the Lord guides her steps towards Boaz. Here's Pastor Megan with the sermon.
All right. Hey, everyone. Like Brendan said, my name is Megan. I'm one of the pastors on staff here. And it's always my joy to get to be here and to get to share with you some of the things that the Lord has been teaching me. I also love this church community. So like Brendan said, whether you're new or you're visiting or watching online, or you've been here for a couple decades, maybe longer than I've been alive, welcome. We're glad to have you. Hey, I also want to say, if English is not your first language and you would like to listen to the sermon in real time or read it in a translated language, you can go ahead and do that. QR code's on the screen or it's in your sermon notes. Also, preteens who are joining us in the service today, if you fill out your sermon notes, you can go see Pastor Josh after the service, and he has a little treat for you. So you might want to pay attention, all right? Now listen, we've had a couple crazy weeks here at the church. We were hosting summer camps, and so because of that, we took a two-week break from our current sermon series, but today we're back. We're in the Tanakh. We're studying the Old Testament, the scriptures that Jesus read. And now when the team decided to preach the Tanakh, I was like really excited. Yeah, let's preach the Old Testament. So good. We need to know about this. But then I was also like maybe a little terrified because people spend months preaching these long books, right? And so naturally, I thought, I will select the one with four chapters. I thought, I'm going to preach on Ruth and it'll be so easy. I got this in the bag. Ah, ha, 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 ha. I was wrong. So much to the Book of Ruth. See, Ruth is often miscategorized as this like cute little romance story. You know, we think of Ruth as this Cinderella type character who lives in hardship and she serves dutifully, and eventually, being seen for the treasure she is, she gets swept up by her Prince Charming and lives happily ever after. A total fairy tale. But it's not quite that simple. See, Ruth is a literary masterpiece. It's a story of two women navigating immigration and life after profound loss in the face of profound poverty, grappling with the consequences of sin and the realities of ancient culture. Ruth is also a picture of ordinary life. And ordinary people taking ordinary action while the unseen hand of the divine is at work. See, in this story, the ever-faithful God of Israel uses tough situations, broken decisions, and unlikely people to accomplish redemption. And not just for a single family, but for all of humanity. So Ruth is not just some fun little short story, like a little quick snack in the 39-book meal of the Tanakh. It's an integral part of the grand narrative, and it's awesome. I love this book. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, it is never lost on me the honor it is to be among your people, to get to share your word, your story that you wrote, this beautiful Book of Ruth, where you orchestrated everything just so, using these characters' faithful steps. God, I pray that you reveal more of your heart to us today. Draw us nearer to you. Help us to trust you more. Help us to see your faithfulness in action in our own lives. May we leave here feeling encouraged and challenged. Speak to each and every person within the sound of my voice, God, because I know you want to. We thank you for that. And in all of it, Lord, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So at some point today, I want to encourage you to read through Ruth. Take 15, 20 minutes, read it yourself. But for now, what we're going to do is we're going to kind of piece together the first chapter, read through that, and then I'll give you an overview of the rest of the story. That's right. We are going full book today, okay? So here we go, Ruth chapter 1. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem named Elimelech, together with his wife Naomi and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. Now, Elimelech died, and Naomi was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth, and after they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. And Naomi was left without her two sons and without her husband. Now, when Naomi heard that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law left the place where they had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, go back. Go back to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me." And she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud, and they said to her, "We'll go back with you to your people." But Naomi insisted they return. She told them she had nothing left to offer them, not another husband, not another future. And so Orpah left. But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you." And this is probably the most famous verse in all of Ruth. She says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I'll die, and there I'll be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." And so when Naomi realized that Ruth was so determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. And the two women went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they arrived, the whole town was stirred, and the women exclaimed, "Can this be Naomi?" "Don't call me Naomi," she told them. "Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Lord has brought misfortune upon me." And so Naomi returned from Moab, accompanied by Ruth the Moabite, her daughter-in-law, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well done. Let's unpack chapter 1. So Ruth is set during the time of the judges. We learned from Pastor Brendan back in May that during this time, the nation of Israel was full of violence and rebellion. And God would intervene by raising up various leaders and pronouncing either tangible blessing or judgment on the land, depending on whether or not the Israelite people were turned to him. And the story of Ruth is like a really sharp contrast to Judges because it doesn't have any of this gruesome violence or vicious acts. It's actually quite serene in comparison to Judges. But we still see the characters deal with the effects of the state of the nation. So when this starts, clearly the land is in a time of judgment, right? Bethlehem, whose name literally means house of bread, enters a period of famine. And off the bat, just like Bethlehem, Elimelech, whose name means God is my king, acts in total opposition to his name. House of bread goes into famine. God is my king goes and disregards God by leaving his homeland. And we might think, nothing wrong with that. Homeboy's looking out for his family. But listen, Moab, it ain't it. You don't go to Moab, okay? It's literally, it's enemy territory. And we see it mentioned frequently throughout the Tanakh as a place always at odds with Israel, wrought with sin and false gods. And so as a good Israelite man, you don't go to Moab. And you certainly don't bring your wife and two children with you. Elimelech goes anyways, and he dies. And then his sons choose to intermarry with Moabite women, also a big no-no for the Israelites. And they seal their intent to stay, and then they die too. And finally, in the wake of her losses, Naomi decides, time to go back to Bethlehem. Now, is it because she realizes the sin of her family settling in Moab? Is she returning home out of repentance? Maybe. But I actually think it's more about survival, because the house of bread has been restored, right? The land is fertile, the famine's no more, which means the people there have probably turned back to God. So the question is, will Naomi? We're going to see. Partway through the journey, Naomi decides actually she wants to go back alone. And so she blesses her daughters-in-law and tries to send them off. And the word she uses here that we translate as kindness is actually the word hesed. Hesed. Hesed is a hard word to translate because it includes so many things: love, grace, mercy, kindness. We don't have just one word to encapsulate this. It's all of the positive acts of devotion that flow out of a covenantal or binding relationship. It describes acts of loyalty and great faithfulness, acts that inevitably go far beyond duty and obligation. So she says, "May God be loving and faithful and devoted to you. Now go, get out of here." But Orpah and Ruth, they resist. They weep. They don't want to go. It's actually really touching. But Naomi starts to get frustrated. Here's why. She's likely realized that two more widowed, childless women tagging along would be a problem. It means two more mouths to feed, two more bodies to clothe, and on top of that, these women are foreigners who would not be received well in Bethlehem. One commentator says they would be about as welcome in Bethlehem as a ham sandwich at a bar mitzvah. So, I got my little ham sandwich. Oh, he's gone already. That's okay. So these women, they would be a blight on Naomi's reputation and a constant reminder of all that she's been through. So Orpah goes back to Moab. Oh, we can go back a slide, please. We can go back a slide, if that's all right.
There we go.
Thank you. Orpah goes back to Moab, but Ruth stays with Naomi. And in Ruth choosing to stay, despite Naomi's insistence, we see hesed in action, right? This is a supreme act of loving and faithful kindness. In binding herself to Naomi, Ruth has tied her destiny to a woman who has no future. Any woman without father or brother or husband or son was the lowest on the food chain. In this ancient patriarchal society, childless widows were forced to rely on charity, and often they even had to resort to slavery or prostitution. So by choosing Naomi, Ruth is choosing danger, uncertainty, and guaranteed poverty. Like, this woman is so brave. She's so brave. I get nervous walking into like a new coffee shop, and she's like, "Let me go to this foreign land and try my best." She's got guts. It's literally crazy, okay? So Ruth takes this huge step of faith and chooses to go with her mother-in-law, thereby trusting and depending on the faithful God of Israel. Once they reach Bethlehem, Ruth automatically identified as an outsider. But Naomi decides to identify herself. Don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Naomi in Hebrew means delightful, delight. Mara means bitter. So basically, Naomi's saying, "I have just gone through this horrendous ordeal. I'm not delightful. I'm bittered. I want you to see that and speak that over me, because that's what I'm seeing and speaking over myself." Now, this is maybe a little bit of a side note, but it always strikes me when I read through the rest of the book of Ruth that despite her request, nobody calls Naomi Mara. They just keep calling her Naomi. I think that sometimes we struggle and find it tricky to know what to say to people who've gone through something and are in the midst of grief and pain. You guys ever felt that? Like, you know that moment when you're like, I don't know what to do. Like, everything I could say to comfort you sounds cliche. It sounds meaningless. I don't know how to help. Well, maybe one of the best things we can do is gently and lovingly continue to speak identity over people in pain. "I see this terrible thing that you went through. I see that. But I also see you. That thing that happened, what you went through, that's not you. You're not what happened. You are who God says you are. Loved, known, seen, chosen, son, daughter. They might not be able to see it right away, but until they do, we get to see it for them and speak that over them. I really subscribe to the thought that what we speak over people matters, right? It sticks. And what we speak over ourselves matters, right? So we also need to allow God to see us and identify us instead of using what we see to identify ourselves. Anyways, guys, that's Ruth chapter 1. So see what I'm talking about now. This is a lot. It's a pretty deep story. So we're going to go through the rest in like a Megan's Notes, Cole's Notes version, okay? To hold off their inevitable starvation, Ruth decides to go pick grain in a nearby field. And it might be desperation that stirs her to action, but turns out it's part of the divine plan because Ruth ends up in Boaz's field. Boaz is a man of standing in the community. He's a little bit older. He's got some money, lots of people working for him. His name literally means strength. Boaz, he's got it together, and he's a big deal. And so Boaz sees Ruth, probably thinking, who is this fine woman in my field? And he asks, who does she belong to? AKA, is she single? Okay, you can catch me out there in Langley after this, farmer's field. Oh my, Boaz, amen. Okay. If you know any farm, no, I'm just, sorry. Back to it. Okay, listen, Boaz, he discovers who Ruth is, and it's obvious that he's heard about her great act of chesed. He calls her over, he blesses her, and he tells Ruth that she is welcome in his field. He tells his workers to watch out for her, and then he even gives her an extra portion of food. And in this moment, we see Proverbs 3 literally come to life. Listen to this. Proverbs 3:3-4, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Is that not Ruth to a T? So Ruth goes home to Naomi, and she gives her the extra food. And this is the moment when Naomi's hardened heart cracks. This woman who cried out that God's hand was against her and asked to be identified by her despair sees this portion of food as a clear physical sign of God's goodness. Now, I just want to pause here because I want to make something clear. Naomi was never wrong for crying out against God. Scripture holds space for lament. It continuously allows for and even encourages candid grief and complaint before God. It teaches us that God can handle our anger. He can handle our raw emotions. And actually, open-hearted lament makes room for God to walk with us, to comfort us in deeper ways. So the problem wasn't that Naomi cried out. The problem wasn't that she was angry. The problem was that she ended up allowing bitterness to blind her to God's provision. See, God already blessed Naomi through Ruth. Sometimes the answer to our prayers look different than what we expect. Because before, Naomi did not see Ruth as the answer. We know this because upon arriving home, she literally tells everyone she's empty, meaning I've got nothing and no one left. And I just picture Ruth standing there like, what am I? Chopped liver? Uprooted my whole life? I don't know. But now, Naomi gets it. She sees it. And she finally fully renders her heart to God by acknowledging his kindness, his chesed, and the loving faithfulness that he has shown her through Ruth all along. Now back to Boaz. Turns out Boaz is related to Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband. So that means that Boaz has the potential to be something called a guardian redeemer. A guardian redeemer was a close relative who could rescue a family from ruin by purchasing their land and carrying on the family line. Boaz can save the day. He might be our hero, but he needs a little bit of a nudge. And so we see this kind of unusual scene take place in chapter 3, where Naomi plans to send Ruth on this like risky secret mission. Ruth is told, dress up real nice, put on some perfume. And then she's supposed to go lie down at Boaz's feet as he sleeps on the threshing floor, uncover him, and ask him to be her guardian redeemer. That's right, Ruth, a vulnerable foreign widow, is going to go approach a man alone at night and ask him to save her. Now, if Boaz rejects her or misunderstands her intentions, her reputation could be completely ruined. But once again, Ruth, ever so brave, chooses to take a faith-filled next step. And thankfully, Boaz responds well. He says, the Lord bless you. Don't be afraid. I will do all you ask. Mission success. Boaz agrees to redeem Ruth. He gives her another gift of grain. And then he even sends her home in disguise to protect her reputation. And then that very morning, Boaz goes to the town gate to fulfill his promise. And ensuring that he does everything to the letter of the law, he purchases the land. And he marries Ruth. And this is how the story ends. Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, praise be to the Lord, who to this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. Then Naomi took the child in her arms, and she cared for him. And the women living in Israel said, Naomi has a son. And they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. Naomi's story comes full circle. With this new baby, just like famine turned to fertility upon the repentance of the people in the land, death has turned to new life for Naomi and her family. Boaz is blessed, and he becomes famous throughout Israel. To this day, even, he's seen as the ideal biblical man, a true heroic guardian redeemer, and yes, even a prince charming. And Ruth, the woman who showed bold, beautiful chesed and took faithful steps with insane courage, is publicly acknowledged for what she's done for Naomi. And once infertile, Ruth miraculously conceives. And through that little baby, we see that God has now established a dazzling legacy for Ruth. Ruth's son Obed is the father of Jesse, who's the father of King David. And who do we get from the line of King David? Jesus, yes, Jesus. Jesus, who's the ultimate guardian redeemer, the one who saves and brings people into loving relationship, brings them in, every single person who turns to him. And so the faithfulness and chesed offered by a foreigner vitally contributes to the ultimate faithfulness and chesed of God being offered to foreigners everywhere. That's an ending, right? And what's crazy to me is that neither Ruth nor Naomi nor Boaz had any idea of this ending, right? They had no clue the impact that they would make on history. Each of them just took the next faithful step. There's a song I've had on repeat lately by this young and upcoming artist named Yan Ching. I've got it, like, you can scan that. It'll take you to Spotify. You should listen to it. It's pretty good. It's called The Arrival, and this is what she writes for the chorus. It seems like we're all in affliction, over all our small decisions that we've made up till now. We're always wondering how things could have been different if we chose a different route. And I think she's really got her finger on the pulse of our success-driven culture, because we're always wondering if we'll ever make it. You know, we look back at our life decisions and we try to figure out if the roads that we chose were the right ones. We're left with so many what ifs, right? What if I had taken that job or married that person or gone through that class or won the championship? What if I bought a different snack that day or wore my underpants inside out? I don't know. It's so many little things, right? But what about the big things? What if I never got hurt? What if that person was still alive? What if I never did that horrible, awful thing that I don't even want to talk about? We can make ourselves sick analyzing every choice, every mistake, every circumstance. And then we paralyze ourselves from moving forward because we're afraid. But in looking back at stories like Ruth, we see how God loved his people through every situation and every choice. We see how God lovingly orchestrated grand redemptive stories using simple, faithful steps. Be so comforted knowing that the God who loves you, who is faithful and good and patient and wise and kind, can orchestrate your story too. Let's go back to Proverbs 3. By the way, John will teach about Proverbs next week, but here's a little sneak peek trivia for you. The widely accredited main author and compiler of Proverbs is King Solomon. And King Solomon just so happens to be the great-great-grandson of Ruth. And it makes me wonder if he was thinking of her when he wrote this. This is verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will direct your paths. My friends, if you trust the Lord with all your heart and you submit to him, meaning you actively turn towards him through redemption and praise and even lament, and you use those interactions to fuel your next steps, then you can rest assured that whether you see it or not, God is directing your path. Some of you may know my story, about how back in 2020, COVID and visa issues seemed to derail me from my dream life working at a nonprofit in Los Angeles at the Dream Center. I was so heartbroken. And like Naomi, for a while, I was sure it was because God was against me. And then I assumed it was because I wasn't good enough. And then I wondered if life could have been different if I had just done this or stopped that or gotten my act together. And I struggled with my identity and my calling and my relationship with God for almost 3 years after. I couldn't see how God was preparing me and directing me towards a different path. Or maybe I could at the time, that I just didn't want to, because in my eyes, LA was the best option, right? And maybe LA could have been better in some ways, I don't know. But here's what I do know. Throughout my season living there, I was frequently asking God to use me and to make me useful. I meant at the nonprofit, he took me elsewhere. I was so upset. But it turns out he was answering those prayers. It just looked different than I thought. See, God has used one of the biggest disappointments of my life and so many other moments of pain and of loss and uncertainty to draw me closer and closer to him. And so now I can look back at the missed road of LA and 1,000 other missed roads and be thankful. Because now, more important than anything else, I know God more. And I know that he's not some sort of cosmic policeman who's out to get me. He is my faithful Father, my guardian redeemer, who hears and responds to my prayers and genuinely has my best interest in his heart. And my best interest is being near to him. And it's the same for you. He wants the same for you. He wants to be near you. Do you believe that? I'm also really thankful for the people in my life who continue to speak identity over me in those hard moments. They know who they are, and I can't look at them, and I can't look at the screen because I'm going to cry more than I'm crying now. Oh, these people, they reminded me over and over again that I am a beloved daughter of God, that I am good enough because Jesus has redeemed me. And they continue to remind me to this day that my story is far from over. Worship team, you can start heading up as I try to get myself together to wrap this up. People of North Shore Alliance, let me just encourage you today. Learn from Ruth. Trust in the Lord. Draw near to him, taking the next faithful step towards the faithful God, however big or little that step may be. Second, remember, it's okay to mourn the what-ifs. It's okay to be upset like Naomi was, but don't let bitterness blind you to what God is doing in the here and now. Look for his faithfulness. Look for his chesed. Even in the pain, and you'll see it. And last, I encourage you, choose to believe that just like he did for Ruth, God is writing an extraordinary story from your ordinary faith.
I just want to invite you guys to stand as we sing these next couple of songs.
Thanks for joining us on the North Shore Alliance podcast. I hope this inspires you to jump into the Old Testament for yourself and experience the Word of God in a whole new way.